Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Monday. It is October 19th, Monday morning. Good to be with you on Catholic Connection here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Can't believe it's October 19th already. Time just flies by so quickly. I think you're going to really enjoy who's coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. The one, the only, Father John Ricardo from the Archdiocese of Detroit, and more specifically, the beautiful ministry of Acts 29. Brand new book. So excited. Rescued, the unexpected and extraordinary news of the gospel, published by our friends at Word Among Us. Father John will talk to us about this new book and also his thoughts on what's happening in our country, in our world, and in our church, with all the division that's happening and what we can do to make a difference. And then we're going to be wrapping up with Joe Condit from Catholic Speakers, along with Christian Hawkins from Students for Life. And Joe and Catholic Speakers are putting on another Truth and Election Night tonight with myself, Father Frank Pavone, Christian Hawkins, Jason Everett, and some other well-known faces from EWTN and Catholic media that you'll recognize. And the whole idea is to really put the truth out there. I've started this new segment on Fridays called Friday Fact Check, and we had a great response to it. Several people called Ave Maria Radio looking for more information. I received several emails. And what I'm doing in that Friday Fact Check is really dissecting many of the problems with the media and the way they're covering issues, and not just politicians, but issues in general, and how they violate their own standards consistently. And this morning in the first hour of my show, and I'll do more of this on Friday, I was talking about the Code of Ethics and the Society of Professional Journalists and went through point by point with recent examples of how the media just completely ignore it. And they reminded me of House Speaker Pelosi when she stood up behind the president and tore up his speech. That's basically what they're doing to the Code of Ethics. And when some reporters have the guts to ask a real question as opposed to throwing just a softball at a liberal politician, his own or her own counterparts in the industry, instead of saying, you know, good job, or not saying anything because that's what they're supposed to do, they're being attacked. It's ridiculous. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a media that's afraid to really ask tough questions of people on both sides of the political aisle, where they softball it, or where you have people who are directly connected to those on the left conducting the vast majority of the interviews, moderating debates in a political election, texting people who work for a particular party in opposition to the people they're supposed to be interviewing in a debate. This is exactly what's happening. How is that even fair? That's not journalism. That's propaganda. This, as I said last week, reminds me of something out of China or Russia. This is what we're experiencing. It's like a state-run media. And so with that in mind, I'll be giving some more examples tonight on this event with Catholic Speakers, and all the details are at catholicspeakers.com. And then Christian Hawkins is actually recording a video along with other guests, and then I'll be responding to that as the media response in terms of the way they do and don't cover the abortion and life issues and so much of what people don't know. And I believe that's why people can just shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, abortion, I'm concerned about it, but there are other issues. Because they don't know the story, and they don't know what happens, or how many. And they don't realize, as an ad that came out a few years ago, and I want to find that. I've got one version of it from Life Dynamics, but I want the one that's actually voiced over, because I think it's more powerful. Life Dynamics put together this amazing video with beads, and they compared, they said the one bead represented 1,000 people who either lost their lives in one of the conflicts in the United States in the last 100 years, the wars. And then the other comparison was a bead representing 1,000 babies who lost their lives. And when you look at the number of people who lost their lives, our men and women in the military, and you compare it to the number of babies, it doesn't even come close. This is not to minimize the great sacrifice our men and women in the military have made. But when you see those, and I'll see if I can, I think I posted it on my Facebook page over the weekend, maybe not. I'm posting so many other stories about media bias, but I'll see if I can find that. But again, this is what Kristen Hawkins said a couple of weeks ago on my show. People don't see it. They don't realize it because they have been presented with abortion as a choice or an emotion or, you know, some sort of a very abstract thing, not the life of a human being. And nor have they been told the enormous fallout with women. Kristen did an excellent editorial, and she was on this as well, regarding how women are harmed by abortion and not just emotionally. So much to talk about tonight. I have no idea how we're going to cover it, but we'll give you some highlights on how you may register. All the details are at CatholicSpeakers.com. And when Joe was on recently, he told us in the last week they had for our first event on the different platforms, I think we hit about 50,000 people, and they're expecting even more tonight. So this would be great if you've got young people in your life who don't understand the issues. This would be great for them, and especially parents who want to talk to their young kids, because Kristen Hawkins does this all the time. So Joe Condon and Kristen Hawkins, Joe from Catholic Speakers and Kristen from Students for Life, at 39 minutes past the hour after spending some time with Father John Ricardo. Right now, on a Monday morning, we do need to get to the news. As you can imagine, there is a lot of it. Let's see what's happening on October 19th. And thanks for Eric for filling in for Andrew today. Let's see what's going on. Well, Catholics, by virtue of their baptism, must affirm to the world God's primacy in human life and in history. That's according to our Holy Father in his weekly Angelus. Yesterday, the Holy Father explaining, to pay taxes is a duty of citizens, as is complying with just laws of the state. At the same time, it's necessary, he said, to affirm God's primacy in human life and in history, respecting God's right over all that belongs to him. Hence, he said, the mission of the Church and Christians is to speak of God and bear witness to him to the men and women of our time. Religion is being treated as a second-class part of society. That's what Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio of Brooklyn said on Friday, warning that New York's most recent coronavirus measures are not reasonable. The bishop telling the Catholic news agency, too many people today see religion as the problem of society. He said, in the past, you would think the nonprofit sector, religion, was a pillar of society, along with business and with government. This was what held society together. Now, he said, that kind of thesis of how society works is long since gone. His comments are made a day after his diocese argued in court against new state restrictions on religious assembly. For the second time in several days, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden refusing to answer questions concerning a story by the New York Post alleging the former VP's youngest son, Hunter, leveraged his ties to the Obama administration for the benefit of a Ukrainian natural gas conglomerate. He was asked about the story during a campaign stop in North Carolina, but abruptly walked away on Sunday when asked about the FBI seizing his son's laptop. And on Saturday, a reporter from CBS News raised a similar question. Biden snapped at him and then insulted the media. A former director of the National Security Agency says there are a few things to keep in mind during this election season.
The turnout, based on everything we've seen, will hit record levels. We need to be prepared for longer lines and a longer process. There's just a whole lot more voters.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Admiral Mike Rogers noting elections are run by the states and the standards aren't the same in every state. He also urged Americans to be prepared to not have a result on election night. How can people have different conversations around election integrity and the state of the nation's democratic system? Dan Vallone, the U.S. Director of More in Common, says that it's important to start a conversation with something you have in common with another person.
Don't make the conversation about persuading them to adopt your viewpoint. Make the conversation about discovering something that you share, and then build off of that shared value, that shared belief, and that's going to be a much more productive conversation.
It's critical, he says, also to convey the notion of wanting to really hear the answer to questions.
It just takes the toxicity down, and then it makes the other person feel like, oh, this is actually someone who genuinely is interested in what I have to say, as opposed to just, we're just going to talk at each other and spew talking points and leave more angry than we started.
He says that 82% of Americans say that the country feels more divided than unified right now. Senators coming back to work today with a coronavirus relief package and a Supreme Court nomination at the top of the agenda. The full Senate convening 2 weeks later than planned after two Republican senators tested positive for the virus. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, as Jim Forbes tells us, his $500 billion stimulus package will include money for unemployment benefits and another round of Paycheck Protection Program loans.
$100 billion would go to help schools reopen and provide money for testing, contract tracing, and developing and distributing a vaccine. McConnell plans to have the Senate vote on the package Wednesday. Democrats have said the plan does not do enough and are calling for a more robust bill.
Fire crews in Colorado working to get the upper hand on the Calwood fire in Boulder County. It was sparked over the weekend, quickly scorching thousands of acres. The flames also forcing evacuations in the area near Jamestown. The Calwood fire is one of a number burning in the state. The Cameron Peak fire topping 200,000 acres over the weekend, becoming the first in Colorado history to top that mark. An air quality alert is in effect through most of today for the Denver metro area due to wildfire smoke. Matt Madison tells us the Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia, now home to a statue honoring women in the U.S. military.
The statue that features a woman in a full combat uniform with a service dog was unveiled at the military cemetery Saturday. The sculpture of the pledge, Susan Bahari, says it represents women's faithful allegiance to the United States and the freedom it allows. Bahari also said there are very few U.S. monuments featuring women in the military and that it's time to change that.
SpaceX CEO Elon Musk saying the company could send its first mission to Mars in 2024. Speaking Friday at the International Mars Society Convention, Musk said the plan is to send an uncrewed rocket to the Red Planet, a craft that's been named Starship. That vehicle, under development in Texas, is also on track for moon missions as soon as 2022. And finally, in our news segment at almost 12 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection, Mark Mayfield tells us a Canadian couple happily married after people from Canada and the U.S. got to attend their wedding.
Lindsay Close and Alex Alecki exchanged their vows on the river dividing the two countries so their family from both countries could attend without violating coronavirus travel restrictions. Close told CNN with the help of her parents they were able to pull off the wedding after postponing the original August wedding date. The couple had 50 people attend from the Canadian side and 15 from the United States side in Maine.
It's Monday. It is just about, now 12 minutes past the hour. I do hope you're having a blessed Monday on this Feast of the North American Martyrs, St. Isaac Jogues and others. Up next, can't wait to have a chat with Father John Ricardo from Acts 29. You also know him from his radio shows here on Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. A brand new book with a foreword by our friend Dr. Scott Hahn, Rescued, the Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel. Amen and yay Jesus, as I always say. We'll be right back.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Life, religious freedom, and health care are at stake in this year's election. Do you have the right tools to confidently cast a vote that's informed by your Catholic faith? Join the Christ Medicus Foundation, CMF Curo, Divine Mercy University, and the Catholic Medical Association October 20th for Decision 2020, the informed Catholic voter. This 90-minute virtual event uses the lens of faith to address the important issues. Register for this free event at CatholicHealthcareConference.com.
Beautiful notebook by our friend and talk show host and very popular speaker and teacher, the one, the only, Father John Ricardo, rescued the unexpected and extraordinary news of the gospel and is published by our friends at Word Among Us. Father, so excited to talk about this new book. Good to have you on the program again.
Thanks, Teresa.
All right, so let's talk.
Not that we have a need for anybody to know the gospel, right?
No, we're all fine. We all get it. You know, we're just sitting around chatting, right?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I couldn't wait to talk to you this morning. I have so many questions, but first of all, I do want to dive into this book because at the end of the day, this is all that matters. That's all that matters, Jesus.
Yeah, and, you know, like I just firmly agree with, I'm not sure if you've had a chance to read, there's another phenomenal book out called From Christendom to Apostolic Mission, which was published by the University of Mary Press out in North Dakota. And, I mean, it's a phenomenal book, but the author makes a point in there that he argues the most urgent evangelistic task of our age is to proclaim the gospel in a compelling way. And I can't agree with him more. And I think, you know, I've heard Al Cresta and you and others just say things like, I think a lot of people in our culture today, they go something like, Christianity, nothing really to see, move along.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, the gospel is anything but ordinary and anything but boring. The tragedy is we've just somehow made it that. And so we've got to find a way to proclaim the gospel so that its shockingness and its unexpected, extraordinary news can really kind of burst forth. So that's what this is an attempt to do. And it's all the more urgent, I think, because stories are how we learn.
Right.
And there is another narrative that's being told right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this is the way to counter that. It's by proclaiming the real narrative in the Christian way of seeing.
And right off the bat in the introduction, Father, you're talking about, and this is a theme for your ministry, Acts 29, which I love, God wants his world back. Explain what you mean a little bit by that.
Yeah, so we stole that from Archbishop Vigner on here in Detroit. He
doesn't mind.
Often. No, I mean, I just steal everything. So, and more accurately, it's God wants his family back. And so, well, that kind of begs the question, well, what happened to his family or what happened to his world? And this is one of the most challenging parts of the book, I think, and it's the most challenging part of the gospel, is to come to grips with the reality of the fall and the reality of evil and the power of evil, which is not equal to God, but like what in the world has happened that everything is in the state that it is right now,
mm-hmm.
and has been for, you know, almost from the very beginning. And in fact, I love the Word Among Us. We've been fortunate enough to write a number of books with them now, I guess three, but we had a whole series of really challenging back and forths on this section on the fall, because as they were reading it, they kept saying things like, you know, this is really kind of dark. And I'm like, it is. It's extraordinarily dark, right? And until we understand what's happened, which has put God's world or his family in the situation that it is, we're never going to really understand who Jesus is other than just, I don't know, somebody who came to tell us some stories and tell us to love and do some miracles. And that isn't why Jesus came.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a quote from Bishop DiMarzio of Brooklyn. He said this on Friday, and of course they're in court fighting the terrible restrictions in New York with only letting 10 people or less at Mass, which is just insanity. So religion is being treated as a second-class part of society. That's what Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio of Brooklyn said on Friday, warning that New York's most recent coronavirus measures are not reasonable. He told the Catholic News Agency, too many people today, and this is getting to your point, Father, see religion as a problem of society. In the past, you would think the nonprofit sector religion was a pillar of the society, along with the business community and the government. He said this is what held society together. Now, that kind of thesis of how society works is long since gone. Wow.
Yeah, well, the demonic lie from the beginning, right, is that God is the enemy of your freedom,
right,
and the enemy of your happiness. And as the attacks against Christianity, which have been going on around the world for a long time, we just haven't really noticed, tragically, in our country, but as they ramp up in our own country, that is exactly the root of it. You are the enemy of freedom. You're the enemy of happiness. You people must be canceled, right? When in fact, no, God is the giver of life, the author of happiness, and the only one who can ensure our real freedom.
Amen to that. We're chatting with Father. Oh, go ahead, finish.
That gets in the whole demonic strategy, right? And so, that's if we can really. So, you know, we're having this conversation right now with the backdrop of everything that's happening in the culture, right? And one of the things, this is that book again from Christendom to Apostolic Mission, one of the things that the author points out in there is that this other narrative that's being told in our culture right now, and there's no one narrative, but it's got some commonalities. And one of the common things that it is always pointing to is it denies the fall. So it denies the reality of, you know, spiritual beings and the reality of the devil. And the problem with that is once you deny the fall and you look outside and you see evil clearly happening, you have to find somebody to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. It's the Democrats or it's the Republicans or it's the men or it's the homophobes or it's the whoever. Like, those people are to blame. It's the pro-life people. And we have to silence them. Whereas, in fact, no, the enemy is the enemy. The enemy is Satan, who has, you know, at the beginning of our race, tricked us into selling ourselves into slavery to powers that we cannot compete against. This is, I think, the most important part of the book, is to understand why it is that we need God, because we are slaves without him to two things, especially death, which I can't escape, and absent the power of the resurrection, it will hold me bound, and sin, which I think is actually just as easy to prove to people. Like, what do you mean I'm a slave to sin? Well, just ask somebody, like, have you ever done anything that you knew you shouldn't do, you didn't want to do, maybe you even hated doing, but you did it anyway? And people go, ugh. Yeah, like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you ever wonder why? Because we're slaves to sin. And so the Lord Jesus comes. God becomes a man, not to tell stories and not to do miracles, although he did those things. God becomes a man to go to war and to rescue his family and to deliver us from these powers that we can't compete against. And that's why this is such extraordinary news.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real narrative. And that's why it's so important and urgent for us both to know and then to proclaim.
Amen. The book is Rescued, the Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel by Father John Mercado with the foreword by Scott Hahn. I think it's very revealing if we look at things that are happening in the culture and the response to it. For example, so much was revealed with the response to Amy Coney Barrett. They weren't as much in an attack mode on quote-unquote Catholicism directly, but the response to her in the culture and the condescending questions she received was that you cannot possibly be a devout woman of faith, raise a family, have a career, and be normal. There is something wrong with you. Because they have been, and I think a lot of this comes from a place of pain where people have bought into exactly what you just said, the lies that you have to be God, you have to play God, you have to have ultimate control, even though we don't, and thinking that we do. But then here comes this woman, extremely successful on all fronts while maintaining her faith, and she's just so different, and they just don't know how to respond. So therefore, well, she's got to have issues. She's got to be this crazy backward oppressed woman who's a handmaid and, you know, in servitude to all men somewhere. It's crazy, Father, the reaction.
It's crazy and it's illogical because it's as if, wait a minute, she's the only one with a particular view. In other words, it's presuming that because you don't have faith, you don't have a bias. Well, that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
She's just telling you how she sees reality. Everybody sees reality through lenses, and hers happen to be shaped by a biblical worldview and by reason, which are in harmony with each other. Somebody who doesn't have faith, that's fine, but don't pretend to tell me that you don't have any biases. Everybody has biases.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody sees the world a particular way. And she's getting called out for hers, and everybody else's who doesn't have, you know, either a Catholic faith or a Christian faith or any faith, they're somehow claiming to be quote-unquote neutral. Well, that's just rubbish.
Right.
Nobody's neutral.
Absolutely. More with Father John Mercado, all about his new book. It's from Word Among Us. We'll put a link to it at the Catholic Connection archive section. You can also find it at our bookstore and the EWTN Religious Catalog. And it's Rescued, the Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel by Father John Mercado. More with Father John when we come back.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Call to communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Call to communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, avemariaradio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Welcome back, Father John Mercado, Acts 29, and we'll tell you all about how to find his ministry online as we wrap up this interview. Rescued, the Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, Father's latest book from our friends at Word Among Us, and with the foreword by Scott Hahn, who was just on the program actually on Friday. Father, we were talking about the Good News Cruise, and you're going to be a part of that again in 2022. We look forward to that. We were talking during the break about the way things are put forward, and you brought up the story that we're going to be discussing in about 10 minutes with Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life. Northern Iowa student government rejecting the request for approval of the Students for Life group there after a long and charged discussion in which the members attacked the views of pro-life students and the student body, basically saying that they're a hate group. This is what we're living in right now. Your thoughts?
Well, so let me try to put this back into the context of the gospel. So I'll back up really fast. So I gave a presentation a couple of years ago, and Curtis Martin, one of the founders of Focus, was there, and I went up to Curtis afterwards, and I said, hey, I would love your feedback on this. And he said a couple of gracious words, and then he said something to me which really shaped this book. And he says, you have to find a way to make this repeatable. What you just did was really good, but it's not repeatable. And so I went, oh, that's like really helpful feedback. And so for me, the way to make the gospel repeatable is to simplify the heck out of it and to reduce it to four words: created, captured, rescued, and response. The story you're talking about, I think this is where the response piece comes in. You know, as Catholics, I think in particular, maybe as Christians in general, we often struggle with, what am I supposed to be doing after I've had this encounter with Jesus? Like, what do I do now? You know, other than like get holy, which is really important, and grow in virtue, which is really important. Like, what's the mission of a disciple? And the mission of a disciple is to be an active agent in Jesus's hands for transformation, for recreation, C.S. Lewis would call it sabotage. And one of the ways we talk about it in Acts 29 is like leaders of the resistance. And those things can become, they can lend themselves to confusion so that no one gets confused. You know, that the quote unquote weapons we use are truth and goodness and beauty and dignity and integrity and forgiveness and reconciliation. But a huge part of, like, think of the resistance movement, say, in World War II, was simply telling the story, telling the real truth, telling the news of what's happening. And what those people are doing back at Northern Iowa, for example, that's an effort to be an active missionary, to tell the real story in this case about the dignity of a human being, which suddenly is now hate speech. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to, you know, our full name for the work that we do is Acts 29, and then it's technically Acts 29 Mobilizing for Mission. And I think disciples have been on the sidelines for way too long. I mean, you've been doing phenomenal work with all that you've been trying to inform people of the media and the importance of the media and how it could be used, should be used, often tragically is used. You've done a heroic job in mobilizing people to understand the dignity of life and marriage and so many issues. But this is every disciple's job.
Right.
Like, to let the Lord use me in my own sphere of influence. Like, so those kids are college kids. They're trying to influence the people who are around them. They're not trying to impose something on them. They're trying to simply say, let's just look at the reality that science tells us about what happens at the moment of conception. And then to just tease out the thoughts and go, well, wait a minute. Like, why do I care about the poor? Or why do I care about the elderly? Or why do I care about the homeless? Oh, because they're human. Okay, great. Rightly so. Why do I care about the unborn? Oh, because they're human. That's why. And either all human beings are persons, or only some are. And if it's only some, how in the world did we come up with the criteria to determine who makes the cut? And what they're doing and what so many people in the pro-life movement are doing is simply trying to say, if everybody doesn't make the cut, then it necessarily means somebody in quote-unquote power is determining who's good enough to merit rights. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Amen.
Versus all human beings have rights because all human beings are persons. But that's the mission of the disciple. And so those kids at that university, they're trying to live out the missionary mandate in their own way.
Right.
Every single one of us, whether I'm a stay-at-home mom or I'm a farmer, I'm a doctor, I'm a college football coach, whatever I am, like, God wants to use me in my own sphere of influence to let his light shine through me so as to help others understand who he is, why he made us, what we're all about, and to do what I can to bring everything back best as I can into conformity with how God the Father created it to be.
That's exactly what the Pope said yesterday.
That's what we're living in.
Yeah, his Angelus yesterday message all about the primacy of God. But Father, here's the thing that breaks my heart, and we only have about 3 minutes left, so I'd like you to respond to this. And I'm losing sleep over this because the people who are emailing me about the election, they never, rarely, they don't mention anything about the common good. They don't mention anything about witnessing. I have to be very direct and say those who are writing me are saying it's their own personal feelings or what they like or don't like about the candidate, or this is not that big of a deal, but I'm going to do this because I feel this way. No mention of the common good, no mention of a missionary disciple attitude, zip, zero, nada. It's about me, myself, and I. And to me, that is heartbreaking that I have to explain it's about the common good. It's not just about you. I have to explain this to people who say that they're Catholic. At least they tell me they are, and they're going to Mass, so I can only assume. Who knows what the truth is, but they're telling me that this is why they're voting a particular way, because it's all about their feelings.
Right. Well, feelings are powerful, obviously, right? And they motivate so much what we do. I always think of, here's the key, like, I think it's Peter Kreeft who uses the image of the train, you know? And he says, so feelings are important, but feelings are supposed to be, if you use the image of a train, like the caboose. The engine is supposed to be reason, like how things truly are. And the engine's supposed to drive my will. That's the second car in the train. And then my feelings are supposed to be at the end. Unfortunately, all too often, like this is me sometimes when I get in trouble, right? The feelings are the engine, and they're pulling my will, and like reason, reality is like the car is uncoupled and it's like 2 miles down the track, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing, I think, in that's no surprise. We've been taught to live by, in so many different ways, how we feel, and it's getting played out right now. And when we see, you know, figures who don't arouse great feelings within us, then we don't necessarily act in accord with reality and reason and whatnot.
Yeah.
We have lots to pray for.
Amen.
Nonetheless, let's end with this, right? Because here's the key. So Jesus is Lord, not will be Lord, is Lord,
is Lord
right now, of heaven and of earth. And all authority has been given to him, and he is not anxious right now, and he's not afraid right now, and he's not nervous right now. And so in the midst of everything that's going on, it's important to remember that, and to remember that he created you and me to be alive right now at this moment and to be used as agents in his hand. So let him use us.
Amen. For such a time as this, as was told to Esther. Rescue the unexpected and extraordinary news of the gospel from our friend, wonderful teacher and leader, Father John Ricardo. What's the website for X29, Father?
ACTSXXIX.org, X29 and Roman numerals.org.
Thanks, Father. We'll be back in just a second.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. Once a woman said to me,
God doesn't exist. No one's ever seen him.
Where'd that come from?
What?
That thought.
That God doesn't exist?
Yes.
I just thought it.
Then it doesn't exist.
What doesn't exist?
Your thought, because I couldn't see it.
Come on. You know what I mean.
Well, I couldn't believe in a God I could see anyway.
Why not?
I want a real God that's capable of seeing everything, even into the future, and all at once. A God that's beyond this physical world and being seen.
Well, I admit that'd be a God to be appreciated.
And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Welcome Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Again, Father John's fantastic new book, From the Word Among Us, is Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel. We will put the link on our archive section at Catholic Connection, AveMariaRadio.net. You'll also find it in our bookstore as well as a religious catalog from EWTN. But if you can't remember the name, shoot us an email and we'll remind you. But everything that we talk about every day is archived and recorded with all the links. So just go to AveMariaRadio.net and Catholic Connection, including the interviews coming up right now with our dear friends Christian Hawkins from Students for Life and Joe Conda from Catholic Speakers, calling all Christian leaders. And this is this evening, 8 p.m. We are doing our second, based on, actually, backed by popular demand, no kidding, we are doing another election truth event. And Joe Condon is with you from Catholic Speakers. Christian Hawkins is here from Students for Life. So, Joe, I have a ton of questions for both of you, but let me start by having you lay the groundwork in terms of what's happening tonight and how people can register.
Teresa, thanks for having me on again. Kristen and I are so honored to be here. Everything we're talking about, go to CatholicSpeakers.com. All the information's on our homepage. So just go to CatholicSpeakers.com and scroll down to register for tonight's event. Father Pavone and Teresa Tamia have sparked a wildfire with what we're expecting, about 100,000 plus tuning in live tonight from the first one that we did. Teresa, we have Dr. Lyle, the pro-life doctor, is going to come on and specifically hit the issues on when a baby is a baby. From a Christian perspective and science, which both marry each other perfectly. We're also going to have a video from Abby Johnson, who is going to be commenting on her expertise with her Planned Parenthood experience. Dr. Alveda King is also going to supply a video for us, commentary on talking about the BLM movement, as well as other issues that pertain to her portion of what she leads. She's the director of African American Outreach. And then, of course, Jason and Kristalina Evert, who are also joining to talk about to young couples about the Chastity Project and why getting and voting for Amy Coney Barrett is so important. But we also have, as you know, Kristen Hawkins on from Students for Life. We brought her in for her expertise on the college side, and we're so excited to have her on with us.
And so let me go to Kristen, because, Kristen, there's stories breaking, and Father John and I told you during the break we're talking about the story out of Iowa with the Northern Iowa students being told that they can't have a pro-life group because of their views on abortion. Where are we? Is this Russia or China or Venezuela? What is going on?
Yeah, this has been – we knew this semester going into this presidential election was going to be a tough semester for our students. Every year – that there's a presidential election, we see an increase in vandalization, discrimination cases. This year is worse. And what we're seeing in Iowa is something that started last spring popping up, the student government officially labeling Students for Life groups as hate groups. We saw this happen in Canada, and they were effective in Canada at labeling our pro-life groups as hate groups. With no legal recourse. As you all know, Canadian Constitution does not have the same First Amendment, they don't have a First Amendment protections and these free speech protections. And so this is something we've been watching for very intently here in the state, waiting for this to kind of start popping up, and it is now here. And sadly, I don't what's happening in Iowa to be an isolated case. This is going to continue. I was on Monday with all of our young women out supporting Amy Coney Barrett as a judge walked into the Senate confirmation hearings, and I literally had pro-abortion feminists yelling at me that me standing there holding a sign supporting Amy Coney Barrett was violence. Me just being there holding a sign was violence. Mm-hmm. And that I was committing an act of violence by holding a pro-life sign. And they were incensed on that. So, obviously in Iowa, this case isn't going to stand. I mean, we've already got our lawyers involved. We've been flooded with folks who want to help us, lawyers who want to help us, because they see this as clearly a very easy, free speech win. This is a state school. You cannot label here in the United States of America so far.
So far.
Pro-lifers as hate speakers. But that could all change on Tuesday, November 3rd, and I am very serious about that fact. We have a party running for office that, the vice presidential candidate of that party has already tried to jail pro-life journalists.
As in David DeLeiden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As in David DeLeiden in California, and I'm talking about Senator Kamala Harris. And I have no doubt that if she becomes Vice President Kamala Harris, she will attack every single national and state and regional pro-life group with the intention to shut us down using the very same tactics that we're seeing there in Iowa.
And I wanted to pick up on something you said on Canada, because this is something that's near and dear to my heart, and here's why. And not only because I live very close to Canada in the Detroit area, but I've spoken many times in Canada. And I can remember one time doing going on my way up there to do a parish mission, and I was looking at the what they teach, because they don't have the same First Amendment. They don't have a First Amendment, as you mentioned. But also, yeah. I think it's very interesting, and people don't realize this, but in Canada, in terms of brick-and-mortar radio stations, the CRTC, the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, does not allow for, let's say, a Catholic radio station or a Catholic network that is on the air in terms of AM and FM stations. You can have a religious station. You can have an hour of Catholicism, an hour of, let's say, a Protestant preacher teaching. You can have an hour of Wicca. You can have an hour of satanic talk. You can have all kinds of varieties. And I believe, depending on who gets in office, that that's going to change, and brick-and-mortar stations are going by the wayside. And then I think after that, there will be a lot of people are now listening online, obviously, and through, you know, obviously through cable. Canada has a lot of different Catholic cable programs. But I think they'll go after us next. They'll go and they'll go to, you know, different government agencies and try to change in terms of how we. I mean, look at what's happening now with Twitter and Facebook. You know, suppressing stories.
Absolutely.
Joe, yeah. Let me go to Joe for a second. Go ahead, Kristen. Finish. Go ahead.
We already have governments in certain states now going after Catholic charities because of their adoption policies, because they say, well, we know placing a child with a mother and father is the best possible outcome we can guarantee for a child. And they're already shutting down Christian and Catholic adoption agencies. So this is already happening. We already have, you know, legislators, U.S. senators like Kamala Harris saying that if you are not, you know, you can be a practicing Catholic or a practicing non-Catholic Christian in healthcare, but if you refuse to participate in abortion, then you have no right, you have no business being in healthcare. And they've already started that. So this is not something that's simply isolated that's happening. Oh, the Students for Life are starting to see it on campuses. This is pervading our culture, and Tuesday, November 3rd is going to determine how bad it really gets.
Well, one of the reasons that it's so bad right now and they get away with it is because I think it has a lot to do with, and this is what I'm going to be speaking of, and Joe, your response to this, is the stories are not told in the secular press at all.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, are you there? Is Joe there?
Yes.
Go ahead, Joe.
Absolutely, Teresa. Honestly, I believe, well, first off, we're getting blocked by Facebook, Twitter, and all the major social outlets, just blatantly blocked. They're not showing our ads, especially for tonight's event. So we're asking everyone organically to share it with their friends and family, you know, but there's an obvious bias. There's an obvious leftist agenda. And it's great that good folks like us that are fighting for life, fighting for pro-life, the Students for Life, next to, you know, the Chastity Project, next to Teresa, your radio station, we're all pulling together to fight for this cause. And we're not going to lay down. I mean, it's absolutely blatant now, and the war is on. And we either don't go to the polls and support somebody like Amy Coney Barrett, or we die.
Well, and the important thing is to put the information out there. I remember a couple of years ago when I was speaking in the Diocese of Cleveland, and the church was packed, and there were actually some calls that came into the church trying to stop me from speaking, and the calls came from other quote-unquote Catholics, believe it or not. And the place was packed, and I said, look, I'm not going to tell you for whom to vote, and we're not telling you that today either, but we are putting the information out there. But I said, I want a show of hands. I want to do a pretty unscientific survey, but I just want to see how you folks feel. I said, you're all intending on voting. Yes, they all raised their hand. I said, okay. I said, do you think, as a voter, as someone who is a Catholic who's concerned about the political process and you want to put your faith into action at the polls, do you think that you deserve at least an attempt at objectivity and accurate information from the secular press, from the people who are supposed to be watchdogs, from the people who are supposed to give you at least an attempt to both sides of the stories? And I'm not talking about party politics. I'm just talking about the basic responsibility of the press. How many people feel that you deserve accurate information and that will help you? It's not the only thing you should be going to, but that will help you hopefully make an educated decision. Every single hand in that room went up. And my response was, And that's why I'm here tonight, because you're not getting it. And this was 4 years ago, and I did an hour and a half presentation on media bias and how they suppress all these stories, not just about abortion, but about the LGBTQ agenda. I had all this documented information, the majority of which was from secular sources. And I know there were a variety of political persuasions in that audience, because people came up and told me later where they were in terms of, and they had no idea this was going on. But this is what we're trying to do tonight, and what we tried to do last week, and what we try to do every day here at Catholic Connection and EWTN. But given what we just heard Kristen say that's happening in Iowa, if you don't think this is going on, the only thing I can say is wake up and smell the cappuccino. Kristen, I'll let you pick it up there. Kristen?
Amen. That's all needs to be said. Amen. Wake up and smell the cappuccino. This is not a time to be complacent. You know, something that I've been talking to our students about, you know, is I understand there are a lot of different opinions about, and people feel very strongly about different candidates, different policies and prescriptions to societal ills that we face as Americans. And there's a lot of very important issues. But we know every single day nothing kills more human beings, nothing kills more Americans than the American abortion industry. That's what happens every single day. 2,300 young children lose their lives to the violence of abortion. And so when it comes to who we vote for, how we vote, I don't care if you don't like the candidate who you're voting for. You have to vote for the candidate who you know is going to end that killing. Because if we all saw the broken bodies of these 2,300 babies on the nightly news every single night, all of us, every American, no matter where they, you know, classify themselves, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, every American would say, I can only vote for the candidate who promises to help stop that. Not the candidates who say that that should be okay, it should be legal, and it should be funded by our tax dollars. That is what we're voting on. That's what we're fighting for. And this is what we continue to remind our young people, especially our young people who, you know, poll and are very liberal on other issues and care about a lot of other important issues of our day. At the end of the day, what ends more lives? And nothing ends more lives every single day than abortion. And as Christians, we are called to, as those who know the truth, to speak truth and make sure we protect the most vulnerable.
Thank you, Kristen. And Joe, I'll let you wrap up again tonight. What time and where do we register? I can't even believe all the speakers you're having. I don't know why the heck you need me. I'll just sit back and listen. They're all so great.
Not true, Teresa. No, please, everyone listening, grab your family, your friends, all Christian organizational leaders, have all your members tune in. Go to CatholicSpeakers.com. All the information is on our homepage. Share it. We're being blocked by all the major media like Facebook, Twitter, etc. We want to organically get the word out. Come see live. We are going to be broadcasting live, and come see messages from Dr. William Lyle, Kristen Hawkins, who you just heard from, Abby Johnson from the movie Unplanned, and then there were none, Dr. Alveda King, and also Jason and Kristalina Everett. So we got a powerful lineup of some of the biggest pro-life all-stars that are out there fighting for such a great cause. Teresa, thanks for having us on.
And keep up the great work, Joe and Kristen. God bless you both. And that's tonight, CatholicSpeakers.com. And we'll be right back on a Monday. Stay tuned. Onward, Christian soldiers. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current healthcare plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins.
More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Good to be with you. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, you can find Father John Ricardo's book at many locations. We'll have the link to it in our archive section at Catholic Connection at AveMariaRadio.net. And of course, the Religious Catalog at EWTN, EWTN.com, Religious Catalog, and then also at Word Among Us, which is the publisher of this fine book entitled Rescued, from Father John Ricardo. For tonight's event with the Catholic speakers and Abby Johnson, Alveda King, Kristen Hawkins, Father Frank Pavone, myself, Jason Everett, that is at catholicspeakers.com. And then tomorrow we'll continue our conversation, and we're working on our segment this week for Faith versus Feelings. And then on Friday, of course, a Friday Fact Checker. I'm going to be diving in to omission and the use of anonymous sources. And I think you may be surprised about what you're not told by the media. They want to create a particular narrative, as Kristen Hawkins just explained, and we are being left out in the cold, and we don't want that. Talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.